We're going to turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. The series we're starting today is Courageous Living in a Secular World, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But first of all, I want to tell you about a story before we get into the sermon. There was an Irish pastor, and pastors often get misunderstood, and I'm saying this because I'm starting to preach here. Often you say things, but you're totally misunderstood, and this Irish pastor is not a Baptist, and you'll see why in a moment. Couldn't be a Baptist because Baptists don't drink a lot. And he'd been speaking about alcohol abuse and not to abstain, and he really got frustrated with his church. And so one day he said to the church, I've spoken about this time and time again, but you don't listen. Now I'm going to show you. I've got an experiment. See, I've got two glasses. One's got water, one's got brandy. You see my hand, I've got a worm. Just a common garden worm. Now watch what happens. Takes the water, glass of water, plop. In goes the worm and takes it out. You see, he's alive. Takes the worm and he drops it into the glass of brandy, takes him out. You see, he's dead. Now what does this mean to you? What's the message? Father, says the Irishman, if you drink, you don't get worms. Okay, pastors can get misunderstood. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this glorious day as we embark on a journey to follow the life of Joshua. Lord, a man who you called to be courageous and strong in the face of massive challenges in his day. Lord, you called him to look to you. And Father, as a church, we embark on a new journey. Lord, we pray that you would give us courage, that you would give us strength. But Lord, more than anything else, that you would give us a great love for you. Lord, we know that everything stands or falls on that fact that we need to love you. And Lord, as we turn to your word now, we ask that you would give us a new passion, a new desire to serve you. Lord, give us a heart desire for you alone. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. If you'll turn to we begin a new journey. All of us face challenges in 2019 as we embark on the new years. For some of us, there will be spiritual challenges. For others, financial challenges. There are business challenges, family challenges. But I want to say this morning that the Lord has a word for each of us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And by the way, the word Joshua or Hoshea means, what does it mean? Salvation. Jehoshea means the Lord's salvation. And that's the meaning of Joshua. Joshua 1. And. Ever read a book? It starts with the word and. Well, Joshua does. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, as I said, the first word, in you don't pick it up in English, is and. It's the Hebrew vav. It's a really strange way to start a book. But here is the bridge from the past into the future. Here we see from just one letter in the Hebrew, one word, one letter, the author has an intention to show us that people change, but God never changes. God is always faithful. The intention here is to show that Moses gave the law on the one hand, but Joshua would live out the law by faith. Here we see that God is unending. Just as God was with Abraham, and just as God was with Isaac, and just as God was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. So God would be with Joshua. He would meet him. And friends, I want to say this morning that God, if you desire it, will meet with you. You know, this the beginning of the year, you might need to hear it, that God will meet with you. Yeah, we hear the words of pathos, the words of emotion, of sentiment, of feeling, of sadness. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, why I shared that story earlier on, and I don't want you to, in your minds, think I'm now comparing Mike and Pastor Paul. Mike did a glorious job in this church. So if you're hearing that as I preach, please don't hear it, because I'm not saying that. Okay. But yeah, we see these words, Moses, my servant, is dead, ring through the ages. Surely these words of Moses' passing must have filled Joshua's heart with absolute fear. You know, sometimes we hear words that really make us shudder. Maybe you've received news that you've got cancer, or a loved one has got cancer, or a financial disaster. In 2008, we all know the markets crashed, and surely that sort of experience must make our hearts cringe. Joshua's master, his mentor, his leader was dead. Yeah, we're one of the greatest shoes in the world that had to be filled. Moses, my servant, is dead. Yeah, we see the words of reflection. Moses. Yeah, was a man, a spiritual icon, arguably the greatest Old Testament leader, a miracle worker. A great, great intercessor. A man who stood in the gap. The man of God who was described by God himself as the most humble man on earth. A man who for 40 years thought he was a somebody. Who thinks they're great? A few of you. Well, for 40 years, that man who thought he was the bee's knees discovered that he was a nobody, a somebody, then a nobody. And then for 40 years, Moses discovered what God can do with a nobody. Isn't that great? If you think you're a nobody, I want to tell you this morning that God has a plan even for you. Yeah, are the words not only of reflection but review. Moses, my servant. Moses, my servant. Yeah, was a call to Joshua to serve the Lord with faithfulness. And friends, yeah is our call. Yeah is my call and your call. Yeah was a call to prepare ourselves spiritually. And then here are the words of reality. Moses, my servant, is dead. Here was the dawn of a new day, a day of change. Joshua would need to take it up. And Church of God, we need to take it up and possess the land. Moses had passed over the Red Sea. Moses had led the people out of bondage. Moses had given the people a vision of the promised land. Moses had spoken of an inheritance. In Moses, we see anticipation. But you know what? Joshua would continue that journey. He didn't start a new thing. He continued. He would pass over the Jordan. He would lead the people into blessing. He would lead the people into a life of faith. He would lead the people into possession. In Moses we see anticipation. In Joshua we see realization. Friends, we need to take hold of the things that God has taken hold of for us. Now let's look at the chapter. Let's start again, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never, never ever leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and be courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. What are the words? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Aren't these beautiful words? For the Lord will be with you wherever you go. You know what? God doesn't need to find us. He's with us all the time. Now, as we look at these first nine verses, we see three major lessons which I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this: the vitality of God's promises. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, I want you to see the context of this setting. In Genesis, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3, God had given three promises to Abraham of land, of seed, or inheritance or descendants. The world would also be blessed through him. These were promises that Abraham was received from God. Now, I want you to see this, that the promises of God had not passed with Abraham's passing or Isaac's passing or Jacob's passing or whoever else, or Joseph or Moses. Yeah, we see God working out his promises in the life of Joshua. And I want to say this morning that God wants to work out his promises in your life. Do you believe that? Friends, we need to realize that you are another puzzle piece in God's puzzle, in his plan. His promises do not fall away. Number two, the second lesson we see in verse 5, 9, and 17 is the encouragement of God's promise. I'm sure that Joshua must have been filled with fear. God doesn't tell him to be strong and courageous unless he needs to hear those words. And you know what? Sometimes we also need to hear those words. Be strong, be strong, be strong, Paul. Be courageous. You know, many occasions in my life I've been scared, and I'm sure there's some year I've been like that. I remember going to college, no salary, I've been working in the bank for 6 years, no salary, future unknown. One is nervous. When I finished college, going to another country, Namibia, I didn't know a soul in that country. You wonder what lies ahead. To a church, almost a church plant. There were 13 members, a tiny congregation who could only pay me 1,400 rand when I started after studying 4 years. That's where God called me. I remember the days when my mum was in hospital. They phoned us at night and said she's having an emergency heart operation. She might not make it. You know, it's days like that that we're filled in with fear. And it's days like that we need to hear God's word. Be strong and courageous. Now the point here is that God has not changed. As he had been with Moses, so he would be with Joshua. Somebody said, put it like this, man may change, but God never. Hebrews 13, 5 and 8. What does it say? Let's see, for a chocolate. Young people, if you're under 30, can you anyone quote Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 8? I like the young people that sit in front because there are rewards from time to time. If you're under 30, without looking. Okay, I hear the rattle of pages. That's cheating. Sorry? Under 18. Under 18, yes. 18. That's good. I think you've had your 18th birthday just a few too many times. Okay. Right. Nobody. No offers. Okay, you're not 18. But you can quote it. That is the context. You're right. 13 verse 5 and 8 says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The context is right though. You're quite correct. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm really feeling depressed because now I've got to eat this chocolate and I'm trying to cut my weight. Okay. Church of God, when you are discouraged, when you face the unknown, remember that God is with you. Here is a threefold promise we see in this passage. God's presence, he is with you. God's power is there to enable you. And friends, God has a promise of possession in this passage. You will be fruitful when you walk with God, and you will overcome. God's presence, God's power, and God's possession. Do you believe that? Do you? I hope so. God understood Joshua's dilemma. God understood Joshua's fears. And I want to say that God understands our fears. And I want to say with much emphasis, God will never give us or you a task without providing the resources and to help us carry out the responsibility. Listen to that. It's not on the board, but it's an important note. God will never give you a responsibility or a task without providing the resources, the ability to help you carry out that responsibility. The vitality of God's promises, the encouragement of God's presence. And the third lesson we see in verses 77 and 8 is the centrality of God's word. Let me just read it again. Above all, the writer says, be strong and very courageous to what? You need to keep your Bibles open, folks. To observe what? To observe carefully, my translation says, the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then, what will happen? You will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Now, the three things we can take out of that. The first is that we need to comprehend. We need to comprehend or understand the Word of God. You see, God's Word, the Bible, is His Word to you. Okay? It doesn't become the Word. It is the Word. To achieve this, Joshua, the next one, had to commit to the Word. In other words, he needs to obey it. He needs to carry it out. Joshua was not meant to be complacent when it came to the Word of God. And Christian, I want to say to you, it's a disaster as a person of God when you become complacent about this Word. Comprehend, commit, and then we need to not only do those things, but we need to also communicate the Word. In other words, we need to speak about it. We need to share it. We need to teach it. And we need to live in it. Share and teach and live in it. Why is it so important? Well, Psalm 1 reminds us of many different verses or chapters in the Bible. You can put that on the board. Psalm 1. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose, what is the word? Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do will prosper. Do you want to be like that? There's the solution. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. That is why the Word of God is so important. God's Word to Joshua is a word to us. Church of God, listen to the promises and the Word that God had for Joshua. Verse 3, it says, set your foot down. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. What does it say to us? Church of God, we need to get going. We need to reach our community for Christ. We need to get out there and set our foot down. Verse 4, God says to Joshua, take it all. Your territory will expand from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean in the west. You know, the tragedy about the story is that Joshua and his generation never fully took what God had given to them. They took a lot, but they didn't take it all. And friends, God has given us this city to reach. How much of it will we take? Do you know all the promises you can claim? Alan Redpath, he said the following. We must not only know our title, but make our claim to every blessing. Don't just know about the promises of God. You need to take hold of it, people. Verse 2, be on the move. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River. Friends, we need to get going. I like the King James that says the following, now therefore arise. Church of God, Watercloof Baptist Church, you need to arise. Don't sit back and warm these chairs, get out there. Verse 8, take up the sword. What is the sword? You guys from Cornhill. What is the sword? What is the sword? It's the Word of God. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. And then verse 11, go for the full life. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Get it. Let's apply this. Now, it's significant that in Numbers 27, Deuteronomy 3, 31, 34, we read about Joshua being set apart for the work that God had called him. I'm not going to go into those verses for the sake of time. But what we do learn if you read those verses is that if you rely on the right resources at the right time, we will achieve the right ends or the right goals. Numbers 27:18, it says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him.'" Deuteronomy 3:28, "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land you will see." Deuteronomy 31:7-8, "Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.'" And then Deuteronomy 34:9. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." Friends, in application, some points of application. I want to say to you this morning, be enabled by God's presence. Not you. Be enabled by God's presence. He's with you. Be empowered by God's Spirit. Friends, it's not my power. It is the power of the Spirit. Now, I think John Broome's going to touch on this at the camp. That will achieve everything that God wants you to achieve. In other words, to use a New Testament phrase, be led by the Spirit. Number three, be encouraged by God's people. People encourage one another. Encourage your leader. Encourage your pastor. Don't say that Moses did it like this and Joshua, you got to do it like that as well. God will use different people in different ways. And lastly, be equipped by God's wisdom. Those wonderful words. "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom." That's where wisdom comes from. You know what, as I close, there's a phrase I want to use. John Piper has spoken about this. We wait and he works. It doesn't mean you're going to sit down and do nothing. Isaiah 64 and verse 4, I want to give this verse as we close. "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you." And these are stunning words. It's there. "Who acts on behalf of those who wait for or on him." Are those glorious words? They're wonderful words. Now, it might sound a bit arrogant and belittling to God to say that God works for us. And if we take it in the connotation of I'm an employer and God needs a job, then it's wrongly used because that isn't true at all. We need to understand the connotation in which God or the Bible speaks like this. When it speaks about the fact that God is working for us, that's not the concept in Isaiah's mind when he said that God works for those who wait for him. the proper connotation, the setting that God works for me is that I am bankrupt and I need a bailout. The proper connotation is that I am weak and God is strong. The proper connotation is I am endangered and need a protector. The proper connotation is that I am foolish and need someone who is wise. Friends, the proper understanding is that I am lost and I need a rescuer. God works for me means I cannot do the work. I am utterly and absolutely in need of God's hand and work and help in my life. And friends, I want to say that this is what glorifies God and not me. You see, the giver gets the glory. The powerful one gets the praise. Listen to what the Bible says about God who works or helps us. Isaiah 64 verse 4, we'll do one by one. Let's look at it. Have you got it down there? Not on the board? Okay. Just listen carefully. I thought it was on the notes. No eye has seen a God besides you who works for those who wait for him. Let me repeat that. No eye has seen a God besides you who works for those who wait for him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. This is a favorite for me. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Isn't that glorious? God is looking for people who love him and will seek him. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. There's the next one. To your old age I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. And I will carry and will save. 1 Corinthians 15:10. The Apostle Paul speaking. I worked harder than any of them. Though it was, Paul recognized this. It was not I. What was it? It was the grace of God that is within me. And lastly, we all know this verse. Psalm 127 verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor it will labor in vain. Friends, as we conclude, will you not wait on the Lord and he will work? I'm going to end up this service with a commitment. I want us all to stand as we close this service this morning. If all of you will stand, just put your notes down for a moment, your Bibles down. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I'm not going to ask you to have an outward commitment, but as we close the service this morning, won't you pray in the closing moments of the service? Lord, I want to be your Joshua. Father, I want to be strong and courageous. I want you to work through my life. Lord, I dedicate 2019 to you. And I ask you right now to fill me with your Spirit and to guide me. Friends, won't you individually just pray that? The Lord hears us. He's here with us. And won't you pray that prayer? Won't you dedicate yourself to God this morning? Father, as we bow before you on this day, 20 January 2019, Lord, we come as a church to commit ourselves and perhaps to recommit ourselves to you. Lord, to firstly love you. Lord, secondly, to serve you with all we have. Oh God, would you not make us like the man Joshua, who later said in chapter 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, give us a new passion. Give us a new love. Lord, may this work out in practical ways, whether it's joining a cell group, whether it's sharing our testimony with our neighbor. Lord, whether it's just coming to you in the morning and saying, Lord, I want to meet you in the early hours. Father, I want to reflect on your word. I want to meditate on it day and night. Lord, hear our prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you rest. Amen.